Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Insatiable Banalities, podcast number 67. It's Tuesday, the 6th of March, 2007. We've got a packed house. We're all sitting around, really tightly packed around the mic so we can get a good sound. And we've got some special guests here, besides the usual cast. We've got Sharky, of course, sitting on the edge. Over on the corner, we've got Ed. We'll talk to him later. But in the middle, there's Owen Campbell here for his second podcast. He didn't turn up to the first one.
G'day.
And we made merciless fun of him. But fortunately, no one
heard that. Actually, it was funny.
It would have been funnier
if it wasn't me. But it was. I'm going to hand it to you.
You actually listened to it? Is that what you're saying?
I did.
Oh my god! So perhaps you can answer some questions.
Shut up! No.
Can you verify?
we'll take, you know, our
no, let's pretend that first podcast never happened. I wasn't
sure. Joining us here this evening in our refined.
I think our audience wants to know what is it like having a reputation for having been well endowed
with musical talent. Oh, well, of course. Jeez. You know.
Well, you know.
Has it got out there? Has word got out? Did our little rumour get out there?
Just strange women approaching for quickies in the toilets.
Oh my god, it's terrible.
Are you known around town as Mr. Big now?
No.
Let's just move on.
I can't believe it. Our coverage is really great.
Oh yeah, let's just move on.
That's terrible.
I didn't bring it up.
Let's start with this new podcast, New Beginnings.
That's right.
That's it. It's a new year. Now tell us, Owen, you're here as ostensibly a local musician, but the fact is you're fucking pissed off to Melbourne, haven't you?
Yeah. You know, it's funny, like you meet so many Canberrans down in Melbourne. And they're like, oh, I moved here because Canberra's so shit.
Yeah.
But I like Canberra, but there's more opportunities down there.
For work and so on.
Yeah.
And you want to be a working musician.
Yeah, I mean, whether I'm busking or not, that's how I make my dough.
Your entire living you make from playing music.
I mean,
that's pretty impressive.
Sometimes I blow it all.
How much of that do you spend in income tax?
I don't.
Right. I mean, income tax?
Saturday night I went out with enough for a cup of coffee, and 2 hours later I had $125.
Where was that? Where were you stationed?
Well, it was, you know where that 24/7 shop is?
Yes.
Around
at the bus interchange.
Yeah, yeah.
The
I was there.
Civic on Mort Street.
And it was a full moon.
That was Saturday night. You could have been at the Bacchanalia.
I know. Well, I
not making.
He had $125 to earn, for God's sake.
Well, once you'd earned that, you could have come here and spent it.
Well, I know.
Where did you go?
I finished at about 12 o'clock. So.
Oh, okay, it was pretty much over by then.
Yeah.
No, actually, we kept going till 4.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll talk about the Bacchanalia later.
You've sold out, man. It was all fucking corporate. It was so big. Intimacy was gone.
Oh, really? Oh, look, I said we'll talk about that later. Good Lord. So, how long have you been sort of in Melbourne?
On and off, about 3.5 years.
Right.
Because I was there, when I was 21, I went to Ireland, and then came back, went back to Melbourne, lost my guitar, came back to Canberra, went to the National Folk Festival, won this award, which gave me $3,000, went to the States, then came back to Canberra, and then back to Melbourne, and now I'm back in Canberra, just going back to Melbourne now.
Canberra is the sort of base, I think, because your family is here.
And
your family are musicians.
Yeah, my old man is. My mum used to be.
Right.
But,
Stop being a musician. Yeah.
I don't know, she just kind of...
Stop performing and stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. Oh yeah, she stopped playing, and I don't know. I think it just happens sometimes.
But your dad, his name is Satch. He's well known in the local folk.
Oh, he's brilliant.
Scene,
absolutely brilliant.
And he's the guitarist and singer like yourself.
Yeah, he plays a lot of banjo, a lot of guitar, and brilliant voice, and just, yeah, he's all round great performer. Like, he hasn't really been performing much, just kind of wowing everyone around tables and whatnot, you know. But this year he's retiring, so I think he's going to be out.
He's retiring.
He should probably do a podcast before he brings up his banjo.
That's what I was thinking. We should have a father-son podcast.
Oh, yeah, sure. Let's do that in a year's time or something.
Yeah, well, I mean,
next time you're back in town.
This is on the internet now, so you're legally obliged to provide your father with a...
That's a contract, a verbal contract, yes. Yeah.
All right.
Now, look, and do you guys do stuff together?
Not a lot. We're like, yeah, it's funny, like,
Who would be the boss?
Do you...
I'd give him total respect. I'd say, look, I'll back you on whatever you're doing.
Can I just ask, in a musical family, do you actually play together often, or are you all off going to little lessons with other teachers?
No, we never did. Like, I suppose it's only just now I've started to sort of embrace my background, which is, you know, a lot of folk stuff.
Yeah.
And I've kind of been drawing on that a lot. And I suppose, really, like, because, you know, my old man's been playing it, you know, for as long as I can remember, it's kind of in maybe my subconscious or something, you know, and so it's all just coming forward now as I've kind of weeded all the other shit that I was listening to out.
Like what?
You know, angry, head banging. You know,
good, honest punk rock.
Yeah,
did you ever have long hair? Or really short hair?
When I was about 13, I had long hair.
What about Dago hair? What about dodgy hair? Funny colours.
Did you ever wear black t-shirts with...
I'm gonna say Owen has a very fashionable surfer kind of haircut going on.
Oh,
right
no,
now,
it's not. It's just because I haven't. I've been too lazy to get.
But those kids who, you know, spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars on product are trying to look exactly like you are. So
I noticed that especially.
He's just come back from the beach.
These guys, you know, they do. They spend hundreds on their haircuts. I'm actually... I have a fear of going to hairdressers. I fucking don't like them.
Me too, because of my dandruff.
Really?
It's like, I don't want them to see me.
You can get lotion for that, you know.
No,
he doesn't wash his hair.
No, I don't wash my hair. That's the other thing.
Your hair's probably... Like, I mean, the amount of shit that is in shampoos and conditioners that...
That's right.
Really,
not only what's going on to your head, and you're probably drinking a little bit. It's all over your skin, but it's going into the fucking drain as well, and then the river.
It goes to the sewage treatment plant, and it comes out of there completely safe to condition fish.
Why make them bother? You know?
Can we? Should we play a song?
Yeah, I think we should play for your hair than any condition that you can get.
Beer, another good use for beer.
Yeah, I've heard about it, but it seemed like a waste of beer to me.
Now,
Forex.
We're gonna move on to a song, and we recorded some songs before. We've stopped with the pretense of like that it was live.
And here it is.
It's what I made earlier.
But this is called The Coalition of the Ill, and
Coalition of the Willing, Coalition of the Ill.
It's a double-barreled.
Yeah, and it's obviously, it's got some anti-war leaning, some sort of criticism of
Bush
administration,
I tell you something funny, like in San Francisco, I played this song to so many people and they fucking loved it. And then in Nashville...
Yeah, you got a different reaction in Nashville.
I almost got bashed by a couple of Marines down there. Like,
You were lucky to almost get bashed.
I know. Yeah. Well, a friend of mine took the rap for me, and because he was...
What do you
American,
mean? He got bashed?
Well, no. It wasn't necessarily about that song, but I had this sticker on my guitar case that said, Buck Fush. G'day.
Mm-hmm.
See ya.
Buck Fush.
Which
Buck
meant,
Bush.
You know,
yeah,
fuck Bush.
Yeah, just like John Hunter's a coward.
Yeah. And this guy he goes, are you an Aussie? I go, yeah. He goes, Aussies are instrumental in the war on terror, you know. And I'm like, all right, thanks for clearing that up for me, mate. And then his friend comes
we
up
we have
to
differences
me, goes,
of opinion within our country, though.
Oh, it is. It's the divided states of America, man. And his mate comes up and goes, oh, so you got a problem with Bush, huh? I go, oh, yeah, I don't particularly think that highly of him, but, you know, I'm not here to talk politics. And he goes, oh, my friend's going to have something to say about this. And he was this fucking monster. And he comes up to me and he's like, I've been to Iraq twice and Afghanistan, you fucking piece of shit. And you're coming into my fucking country saying this? Fuck you, man. And then so
you
I'm
should
just
have
crying.
Killed him because that's probably what he was doing in those countries.
Well, that's so I'm leaning back, going settle down. And my friend who I came down, like San Francisco boy who I traveled with.
Well, that, he's going to get you a long way in Nashville.
Well, he put his head forward and said, that's my guitar case. Mm. And he goes, whether you like it or not, you're going to fight these wars to protect my right to protest them. Yeah. And this guy was fucking thick as two short planks.
I was going to say, how did the drunk marine react to it?
That line of reasoning. That was him. That's why he joined the Corps.
He's like, well, hey, man, I just thought it was the Aussies. And then so I went to the bar and I was just let the shakes off and then came back and they decided to come and sit with us. And just making conversation, I said, oh, so what do you do? Like when you're in the front line, he goes, oh, I call in the airstrikes. And he goes, like, it's pretty fucking outrageous what he said. Like, he goes, yeah, and I've seen dead children and babies and women and everything after I've called in the airstrikes, but I didn't care, man, because they were fucking Muslims. This is what this guy said to me.
Yeah.
And I just had this sinking feeling that a guy with this mentality has got the fucking power to call in bunker-busting bombs.
Can I suggest to some degree, though, that guy is trying to rationalise his own pain?
Of course. Yeah, of course.
His own...
And, I was just sitting there going, this is just ludicrous. Here we are in the free world and
but maybe they have given that job to someone like him because...
Oh, because
he'll do it.
No, but it is. Like, but he told me later that his father was in the military, his grandfather. Mm. And so, but he seriously believed that Muslims worldwide were evil. And
so that was a long line of ignorance.
Can I just interject there and say, Ed... That voice that people haven't heard before, that's Ed. Say hi, Ed.
G'day, Ed.
Welcome, Ed. Ed came over to tell me about some tabletops that are going from the Hyatt. And he just stayed, and so here he is in the podcast. But I think immediately after this talk, or sometime during this talk with these fucking American GIs or whatever the hell, you sang a song not unlike this one.
Yeah.
Being Coalition of...
Well, no, I didn't actually sing that song. If I had sung that song, they would have killed me. But in Nashville, like, I sang it to people on the street.
It was just the guitar case that they were talking about, not the song.
Yeah. Yeah,
because I was going to say in
if I had sung that song to them, they would have wrung my neck.
Yeah, can we?
You'll hear it. Yeah,
you would have trouble on
that. I've got an anecdote about songs of the South.
You'll hear what I'm talking about.
Can we hear the fucking song?
Just tell them all just what I know. Heaven holds a place for the man who doesn't pray. That's blasphemy, boy, no. Your Jesus told me so. As you sit in rage and ruin and your money's all gone, I'll be smiling from the heavens trying my little halo on. Or playing cards with Mary and you're loving God, loving God. Woo! With a blacklist, all the Muslims keep you also under pay. Workplace reform is advice for making slaves. I'm not a sucker on the line, just sitting there waiting to die. A coalition of the willing, coalition of the fucking hell. Got the money, U.S. got the bombs. One day I'm gonna find a hole where the Middle East once was. I'll take the fuckers all down and a little ride in. coalition of the willing, coalition of the damn ill.
I decided, you know, I was thinking coalition of the willing, or coalition of the ill, but it just kind of goes together.
So. When you sing it, it comes out like coalition of the hell.
Yeah.
Which is what makes, yeah. That's what I think. It's like, you know, I think.
I never thought of that.
I think that's
good. Bush is the devil after all.
Yeah, well, no, it is. I mean, it's all of that, I suppose. It's hell, it's fucking pure ill, it's pure evil.
Evil in some sort. But there's a lot of evil in the world.
We're not even recording that.
Yeah, I mean, we on the other hand are governed by, a man that is evil's fucking pet dog. So where does that make
the opinions of Owen Campbell do not necessarily represent those of his
It's
a pretty close approximation anyway.
They represent most of the opinions. Shall we
say recording? I mean, I didn't say that.
Oh yes, you're a public employee, aren't you?
That's a you.
I mean, I was in Waycross, Georgia, shit going on more than 10 years ago now, and a bloke who was from the north whistled Marching Through Georgia, the great anthem of General Sherman's armies as he tore the heart out of the racist south, and he was shot dead down 50 metres down the street from the bar where he'd been whistling the song, so...
10 years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, but, I mean...
Mind you, Waycross is really deep south. Nashville's kind of cosmopolitan.
Look at this in the perspective of that the Americans have the right to bear arms. It's in their constitution.
Yeah,
we have the right to bear arms.
It's so weird, summertime when it's warm.
Yeah, that's right.
Warm,
except in some clubs where they require a collared shirt.
Sleeves. Yeah. You can bear arms. Yeah,
bear arms all you like.
Yeah, but some's a little more severe than others.
We should put some sunscreen on it.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. Yeah, because that can be dangerous, bearing arms.
No, if that's your cancer, for instance.
Oh. Now, look, I wanted to talk about this father and son thing a little bit because it's an interesting thing.
We definitely...
Oftentimes, fathers want their sons to follow in their footsteps and... sometimes they do and sometimes they rebel. And there are different things that you can rebel against your father being. Like, he could be like a total, like a really religious nut and you want to be an atheist or whatever. What you had to rebel against was your dad was a folk nut.
Yeah, how do you rebel against a folk musician?
Well, you like heavy metal, obviously.
I never rebelled against him at all. Like, he liked music and so did I. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I'm in my own footsteps, but he's definitely going, well, hey, here's music.
Are there other siblings, and are they equally into music? Or
my older brother, he started playing at the same time as me, but he kind of dropped it for a while, but he's just bought himself a mandolin. And my younger brother, he's just a ripper, and he's been playing guitar for a good couple of years too now.
So you're going to do a Von Trapp kind of thing with the whole family?
I think we will eventually. Yeah, yeah. I'd really like to, because... Because they've all got good ears and they know how to play and they,
How many are there?
Just older brother and younger brother.
Yeah.
And your dad.
And the old man. Yeah.
And you get your mum in.
She could be playing music again. I can't believe she stopped. What's she doing now?
Oh, she's gotten back into her passion, which is just, healing through cooking and foods. And,
there's nothing wrong with that.
Yes.
Does she want to do a cooking show?
Well, she's actually got a DVD, but,
what's her name? Cooking?
Maureen Regan.
Maureen Regan.
No, it's Men in Black.
Is that the name of the DVD? How can people find it?
No, it's like, what's it called? How to Beat the Blood Sugar Blues. It's basically about hypoglycemia and shit like that. And how simple it is to cure these things with changing your lifestyle, or changing... what you eat, as opposed to going to a doctor and getting fucking antibiotics and
more chemicals to solve the chemicals that are in your blood.
Exactly, exactly. And it's really good. I did the music on that too, actually.
Yeah,
and it's not good because of that. It's just good because, you know.
Did you have a little dramatic bit for when the hypoglycemic crisis comes on?
it's all pretty sort of, you know, like a... it's in a positive light, like, and because, I don't know. I always do a really bad job of explaining it, but it's fantastic. Go and check it out.
Do you follow the how to beat the hypoglycemic blues diet yourself?
Well, that was like
he says, sucking on his cigarette.
Yeah, well, that's
his beer.
Is that part of it?
Yeah, no, I pick cigarettes, that's a bit of a contradiction, isn't it? But like my mum went and trained with in Taiwan, like, and in the States with Michio Kushi, who does like macrobiotic cooking, and so. My whole life I was brought up with it, like, with his really great food, really healthy
did
stuff.
Did you go out and buy Cocoa Pops the minute you were free from parental influence?
No.
Because I did.
I was forced to eat seaweed as a child. Yeah.
Yeah, but...
maybe it's an example of a person growing up in a fairly liberal environment just going, well, there's nothing to rebel against, why bother? Good.
Yeah, no, so
I...
Did you grow up with your... father or your parents gigging or like
my old man kind of stopped gigging when before I can remember, like in Sydney when they first got to Australia. Mm. And then me and my brother were born, we moved to LA fucking WA. Mm.
it's like the west coast.
Yeah, no, he hasn't been gigging much just because I suppose when you got a family it brings you know, a new perspective in. But
new times on and yeah.
Well, you mean he got a job, he buttoned down the collar and...
Yeah, well, like five generations of Campbells in Creef, the town he was born in, they owned a bakery, the Campbells Bakery. And so he was he baked for a lot. He's a phenomenal performer.
Now, Campbell's a Scottish name. Were your family from the north of Ireland, or were they down south?
Oh, no, my mum was from Ireland and my dad was from Scotland. So.
Okay, right.
But,
the Campbells, are they lowlanders?
Lords of the islands,
man. Oh, Mr. McRae!
Did he ever get any fights by saying, I'm a baker, not a fighter?
Put him back in his
life. I don't know, you'd have to ask him.
I've got one more question before we play a song. Owen, is there a particular school you can go to? Because you're quite a young man, I think you're about 25, is this correct?
23.
And yet you're sort of starting to sing a little bit like your dad is called Satch, and you're going, I don't know who he's now. I think it's Louis Armstrong.
Satch,
he's named after. Do you have this school that you go to sing
to roar.
With this sort of sing, oh, I've been at that school for the last 20 years, but I must be at the wrong one. I've been smoking all the cigarettes I can smoke. I've been drinking all I can smoke. Looking after myself.
You just gotta start smoking ice. It'll sort out your voice, no problem.
No, ice.
Damp. It's really hard to light.
I put some in my crack pipe, but I couldn't. Yeah, it just melted.
But you remind me of Aaron Pacey as a young man who's got a voice that's sort of...
Voice of a 6-year-old.
Yes, yeah. I mean, much more mature than...
But isn't that just because, you know, your voice suits it and you go with it rather than...
Maybe I don't know, I kind of...
Like Rod Stewart.
Oh, I mean, I used to, like, when I first started gigging, I was 17, I played down at the Gypsy Bar, and I was fucking god-awful.
Hey, I didn't say you weren't god awful. I was just saying
I'm
only kidding. You've just got a gravelly tone to your voice. That's what I'm talking
about.
Which
is fantastic. You know. It suits them.
No, it does.
Yeah, I don't fantastic. Know. Because my old man's got an incredibly strong voice. Like, he's amazing voice. Mm. And
so he's a banjo and lead vocals.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm. Yeah. It sounds like our Graham Bales.
No, and, he's
better on banjo, I think.
And I don't know, I suppose I kind of just drew a lot from him, and I don't know. Yeah. It just...
Is he a smoker?
Oh, he quit about 8 years ago.
Yeah, right.
But, I don't know. Like, I'm still debating whether it's got something to do with cigarettes, or I'm sure that has got something to do with it, but...
It's only a natural tone as well.
But it's mainly just your guts, you know, like...
All right, well, let's have another listen to it. This is called Sunday Morning, and very cleverly, I thought, it's Sunday M-O-U-R-N.
Yeah.
Sunday morning is every day to me. Sunday morning, only these times. So I paint the blue skies over the dampness, but the rain came, washed me down. So down I went, I was destined for the ocean, destined for Jonah's, Jonah's belly. But I found no ending. That happy ending never began. I woke to the nightmare all this Sunday morning, for I was drowning in Jonah's belly.
So that was Sunday morning. We really didn't. You didn't give much of an intro to that song, Owen. But is there anything?
Oh, it was just
explanatory notes.
It was a I don't know, a pretty low day, and I don't know. I was coming down or something.
Yeah.
Oh no! Like I moved back down to Melbourne after I got back from the States, and I was renting my mate's garage out. And when it rained, it turned into a water feature, the whole fucking room. So I was on the couch.
And, floating on the couch.
Well, no, so I had to go inside to sleep on the couch.
Oh, right.
And, but I used that as my music room, which was kind of cool. But, yeah, it was still this... It was, you know, being hungover playing in this room, it was kind of...
Depressing.
Do
you always get depressed when you go to Melbourne, and do you feel better when you come back here?
No, not at all. Like, it's just when I go down there and fuck up.
Yeah.
Then that's kind of Sunday morning, I suppose.
But by Sunday afternoon, it improved, hadn't it? Yeah.
2 beers and you wrote a song, and does that buck you up, writing a song?
Yeah, sometimes. Mm. Sometimes it just makes you feel worse, but... But no, that one, yeah, I kind of wrote that and then went out and Sunday morning was over.
The next song we're going to play is a love song.
Yeah.
You just wrote today, right?
Oh, no, it's been on the cards for a while, but...
It's not aimed at a young woman?
So come on, who's the lucky guy? Years. Main girl.
Yeah, no, it's a girl that I've known and loved ever since I was like 13. Like, we've never actually been together, but you know, and I don't want to divulge too much into it, but I don't know. I just love her, and I mean, you know, I've been stung a few times, but it's I don't know. I'll always love her. It's just
to end. Does she know of this love?
Yeah.
And what does she think about it?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, it was a pretty positive response, but at the same time, I know it's not now, you know. And
not a happening thing at the moment?
No, not at the moment. I mean, she's got her
own, good later.
She's got her own life to live, and I suppose I do too, you know. It's a bit rich of me to say, because
so this is a Canberra girl?
Yeah, well, we did. We, like, it's weird. We grew up in Canberra together. In Queanbeyan, sorry. And,
oh, hang on, stop the fucking podcast. No one told me he was from Queanbeyan.
Yeah, I grew up in Queanbeyan.
Well, you're not the only Queanbeyanite that we've had.
No, we had Juliette Ward last year.
Oh, she lives there now.
Like, it makes a big difference. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah, well, I mean, but that's the thing. I mean, I'm earning $50 an hour playing on a milk crate on the street, so who's from Struggle Town after that? Yeah. Anyway,
what would I give to earn $50 an hour
on the street?
Anyway,
on my own time,
I can't even afford the milk crate.
You're being serious, aren't you?
Yeah,
because you're not earning that now.
I've never earned $50 an hour.
Even when you were doing your permanent house,
$50 an hour? No way.
What were you getting?
I haven't learned.
Oh, I was probably working
as a legal
25 off a lot of hours. And I was paying tax on that. I was paying tax on my $50 an hour.
What about the guy who earns $75 an hour washing windscreens on North Point?
Yeah, he's not from Queanbeyan, mate.
Do they really earn $50 an hour? We don't know.
I think that's a very good hour, but they only tell their friends about the really good hours.
I reckon they'd be underreporting, if anything, don't you?
Moving right along from the region's pathetic provincialism, back to whatever it was that we were talking about before. Shocked John Boy.
No, I think we should have a quick bacchanalia report. Can we do that?
Yeah, the corporate excess.
Go on. I'd like to give my impressions. What the hell are you talking about?
I'd like to give my impressions, being very objective, because I wasn't actually there.
Yeah.
And I've heard since that it was the best bacchanalia of all time.
Yes. Bugger. Which is not very long time.
Yeah, it's just like saying Glastonbury this year was the best Glastonbury of all time.
Wasn't,
you know,
as
it had another 100,000 people there, and, you know, two giant wind turbines.
Well, we had another
20
people there, or something like that. It was a very nicely packed yard, but is there something specific that was too commercial about
it? No, there's nothing too commercial about it. I'm just joking about the fact you had tons of people
there. It was quite successful.
Says the man that was at the Brumbies most of the night.
Yeah.
Watching them lose.
And bone picking time, if it's now, is you just, like, dumping me your door bitch job.
You didn't ask me to be door bitch for this one.
I just assumed. You did it well last time, you do it again.
That's
bullshit.
How can you worry about that?
You would have gone to the Brumbies anyway, admit it. Come on. Even if I'd asked you.
No, if I'd said yes. If you'd asked me, I'd said yes.
Before you knew the Brumbies were
exactly.
Right. Yeah,
then I would have done it.
Well, okay, you're hired for next time.
Alright.
Seriously,
I don't know.
You've got a live-in perfect door bitch.
I'll look it up.
Who?
Don't you have a live-in door bitch?
I don't think she wants to do it every time.
Alright.
She did it very well last time.
Well, from what I was told, everyone enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
really? You were told that?
I was.
But you were too busy busking.
The police.
I was too busy making a bit of cash. But yeah, no, I heard it was
bust at the front.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're perfect. Yeah.
I don't think that crowd would have tipped well for the busker.
No.
I think they would have assumed you was entertainment.
But and just the other little bit of sort of semi exciting news about the bacchanalia was we were visited by a famous person.
Who was
or a semi-famous person, or a person who had their 15 minutes of fame, and it may.
Who the fuck was it?
It was Chanel Cole.
Did she make that perfume?
Chanel Cole,
who came fifth or sixth in the Idol.
And they have Cole Fest down in Bega every year for her.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Like, she's the biggest thing ever to come in Bega on it.
What about
she slimmed down? She got kind of big for a while.
The biggest thing since sliced
pretty big,
cheese.
But she's hot. And she's.
Is she
going to
play the next one?
Hot
and she wants to.
Yeah.
And I mean,
can you make room on the bill for an Australian Idol finalist?
I don't know.
Hey, you're having it on a Gorman House, so you could afford to go big on that.
No, I'm not going to have it at Gorman House.
Next one.
No?
No.
Not the next one.
No.
the next one will be here, 31st of March, she might play there. No, she can't be at the best, because who could have voted for her?
But if she's good at the 31st of March, if she's good at the 31st of March, surely she could get through the final.
Look, there's a guaranteed audience there. It doesn't matter. Anyway, the Bacchanalia was a huge success. Everyone played really well. I think Daha, who were a little bit miffed to get kicked off after 20 minutes. It wasn't my fault. I'm sorry, Rafe. Really sorry,
Rafe. So who made that decision?
I don't know. Stage manager.
It's your bloody gig. Who made the decision? Kick their ass.
As a matter of fact, they were thinking of the big picture. In
terms of the sound restrictions.
In which that's right. The gig might end.
But you could have told Daha, who, let's have some acoustic numbers.
Yeah, I think they might have taken too long to set up. I'm not sure. I wasn't paying attention at that time. But we didn't have any noise complaints.
The fuelers went really well.
I'll get some photos of you dancing there.
Yeah. Well, people dancing at the Bacchanalia, like lots of people dancing. That was very exciting.
Yeah.
I thought there were photos of people having fit.
You don't have to dance well to dance, you fucking bigot.
He should know.
Yes, you should be more forgiving of others.
All right, I think that's the end of the Bacchanalian report. We should move on to the next song, which is this love song, The Rain. No,
you make it sound bad. It's, I don't know, it's untitled. It's untitled.
You call it a love song.
It is. It's a love song of sorts.
And, I mean,
a song of enduring love.
Love song.
Decade-long love. Unrequited.
But love song makes it sound like cheap cheese.
Well, what is it then? Unrequited.
I suppose it is. It is. It's a love song.
It's an unrequited love song. And The Rain is the most commonly mentioned word. It's mentioned a lot.
It is true.
Phrase, I should say.
Yeah. So, anyway, this is it. All right.
Some dust bowl gasping, searching for a kiss from you. My love nearly dies, and you come back teasing with your pretty smiles. The rain never came down. Now I'm growing dead tired of these testing times. So I thought I'd swing down and tell you I love the rain like I'll always love you. Countless times I slinked away, cursing your very name. For the times you burned me so, on some sunny day I stole a kiss from you. And you washed your hands clean of me. Oh, rain, much like your warm. The rain never came down. Now I'm growing dead tired of these testing times. So I thought I'd let you know I love the rain like I'll always love you. Some say I should roll on and search for better days. I see you playing you for a damn fool. Oh, dear God, I did try. Oh, so many times.
but this old candle ain't blowing easy. Oh, the rain, much like your warm embrace. Ah, the rain never came down. I'm grown dead tired of these testing times, so I thought I'd let you know I love rain like I'll always love you. Oh, rain, much like your warm embrace. Ah, the rain never came. I'm growing dead tired of these testing times, so I thought I'd let you know I love rain like I'll always love you.
That was the rain, and
Sorry.
Go ahead. Yes.
I gotta say it's a little unfinished. So that little it's a little unfinished, but
yeah, it was pretty raw. Seeing as you just finished it tonight. Today, and
that's a podcast that's first for us, isn't it?
I shouldn't have recorded it, but I don't know. I've been playing it all day, so I had to.
Yeah, I know.
It.
The I like to
get the cat out of the bag. Yeah.
Now, Candy, why are you wearing ballet slippers?
Well, I'm not wearing ballet slippers.
They look like ballet slippers.
For our listeners at
and
home,
and they're tucked in.
For some reason, can't see my fantastic footwear. I'm wearing a $5 pair of footwear, which I can't remember where it came from, but they are revolting to both the eye and even the mind, really.
And
without laces, they've got like this
ribbon,
which tightens them up, and a plastic clip which occasionally falls off. Don't fuck with that, please, Sharky. They'll fall off. And they double as my squash shoes. They're my backup squash shoes. Right. And now that I'm on the pushy,
yeah,
they're my riding my bike shoes. And so I don't have to really worry with it.
I've
got these.
I noticed when you turned up, you came with some quite exciting high visibility gear.
Yeah, I did.
Can we have a photo of that too? Where
no,
is
you can't.
It's sort of the over the shoulder
on
it. It must be special.
They are very special for wear. It's not really me. And I just bought them, I don't know, maybe.
Yeah, which ballerina did you mug to get them? That's what I want to know.
At least
which
they're not
action
going up the ankle, they're only on the foot.
The thing is,
the thing about Andy is
they're very sporty,
is,
and I'm
he's
really
the
not very sporty.
In the world.
Well, that's part of it, but
that's not fair on other cheapskates that are.
Start wearing ballet shoes.
The thing about Candy Pants, as we now call him, is that he's not so much as a fashion victim.
I'll get a hitman to whack you, like with a stick or something.
You're not so much of a fashion victim as a sort of a price victim.
You got grease on your pants, so no, you're not Candy Pants, because you got grease on your pants the other day.
You shut up about my pants.
Ed? Don't talk out of turn.
That was a bit bad. Today when I was riding along my pushy, and this will like sound like I am actually the, what did you call me just before?
Jesus.
Yeah, right. Okay, I found a broken candelabra on the road, and I stopped to pick it up. And as I stopped to pick it, I got bike chain grease all over my
pants. That's very fascinating for all our audience, I'm sure, Candy.
Thanks for sharing.
You started this. I mean, what the fuck, who cares about your shoes?
He started. I don't care about your shoes either.
My mother listens to this.
I like the fact that you wear really strange clothes. Yeah. No, we're incandescent lights. That's from. We're sitting here under
the beautiful
illumination of a incandescent light. One of the last to be found in Australia.
No, the phase-out's not till 2009.
Yeah, well, in 3 years' time, it'll be.
Isn't that fantastic? Yeah, and we're the biggest coal exporters in the world, and Johnny fucking comes up with a light bulb.
Yeah.
Hey.
Johnny,
it's really struck me as
fuck all.
That's exactly. It's a token gesture to cover total neglect of a real carbon policy.
Yeah.
But, yeah, let's just ban a sort of light bulb. Let's make it really expensive to have a really energy consuming light bulb.
Like, one of the dumbest politicians in the world, Arnold Schwarzenegger. No offense.
He's also one of the muscliest.
But the thing is, he's put like $2 billion aside in the LA economy. To
California.
To California economy. To invest in solar power.
Yeah.
And here we are, you know, one of the coalition of the willing's partners, so afraid of terrorist attacks, and what are we introducing?
Nuclear
fucking
power.
Nuclear.
Yeah, but I reckon as much as there's, that rhetoric, I don't reckon people are actually afraid of terrorist attack. If you asked anyone, they go, oh yeah, there's fucking bodgy fucking Muslims down on the Canberra. But I don't think anyone would be going, I think fear terrorist attack.
I think actually, if you ask people, the thing they're most afraid of, they'd still say public speaking.
Yeah, yeah.
Public speaking. Public speaking, or the mortgage going up.
Seinfeld thing that people are scared of either public speaking or
spiders,
death.
I fucking
not
hate
or death. So I'd rather be in the box and doing the eulogy.
Yeah, but this is a new age where media is just fucking pounding everyone's heads with images of Allah
gives people what they think people want.
0.1% of the Muslim population, you know, the fundamentalists. And it's the same with, you know, Christianity as well. Because
all religions have a fundamentalist bent.
Yeah, we're on the other side.
That is unavoidable.
And it's funny.
Either you're a fundamentalist or you're given up.
There are plenty of atheist fundamentalists, and Lord knows I see enough of them on Riot Act, who are just as intolerant as anyone else. So people who are intolerant of other people are pricks and deserve to...
I'm a liberal fundamentalist, aren't I?
What does that mean?
You're a what?
A liberal fundamentalist.
Yeah, it's funny. Like I've met hippies that might as well be Christian fundamentalists, just because, you know, they're conservative hippies. You know,
dude, that tofu is not GMO free.
Yeah. We used to call them the Nazi vegans. Or
something like that. But
exactly. Well, gee, that's original.
Social Banality says, be cool and let it all hang out.
Yeah,
we got a quorum on that.
Right. Or if you don't want to be cool, that's cool as well.
Yeah.
Can I just add my little thing on the incandescent sort of fluoro light thing?
Yeah, because that's our
main
topic tonight.
Even before Malcolm Turnbull announced his amazing new policy to sort of save the world from
Minister
the greenhouse effect, you couldn't buy those fucking fluorescent globes with the bayonet things, most common. No. You go to the supermarket for the last month and a half and try and buy fluorescent globes with a bayonet.
Oh, there's just been a run on it because everyone's been worried about it.
Everyone has been buying those things as much as they fucking can for the last 3 months. And all you've got is those bloody screw-in ones, which are used by about 1 in 100 light fittings. The only ones that are left.
That's why there's some left.
Thank you to the makers of those screw-in ones. You've got a niche market there. Good on you for supporting
them. Malcolm Turnbull, good on you for being 3 months behind the tide of public consciousness. We were already buying those fucking things already, you know? Because, not only does it use less energy, it saves you money. You've made your money in a year if you buy those globes. You know, your electricity bill is going to go down.
But
it's
sense. This is where it comes back to that electricity needs to be priced according to the carbon component of it.
Yeah.
That's
your solution, isn't it?
No.
Carbon tax.
Yeah.
That's what you think.
Because you look at the industry use of electricity. Back in 1995, the cinema I was working in was replacing all its bulbs with long life bulbs instead of incandescents. Mm. Not because they wanted to save the planet, because the electricity was costing them a fortune.
Yeah.
You start applying that sort of
thinking
where it won't happen in household use, but household use is a tiny fraction of the whole use. You start the guys like the aluminium smelters, you start saying to them, electricity that comes from carbon generated sources is going to cost you a dollar extra. Or $10 extra per tonne of carbon dioxide used.
Yeah.
They're going to be building a wind farm next door to the bloody smelter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They will be finding solutions like nobody's business in nobody's time. Everyone will be actually doing what they can to conserve instead of only people who care about it choosing to pay more, which is stupid.
Is this entirely the, you know, let them... No, it's a combination of regulation and market forces.
You regulate to put the price signal in, and then you let people choose what their best economic outcomes, and you've set the price signals in such a way that will drive your policy.
So you're not a total libertarian.
Free marketarian.
It's a combination. We do need a combination of the government intervening in the market, to create the right...
Markets need to be regulated to get social outcomes.
Yeah.
I agree.
That's been my point about them changing the light bulb. Like, they say that they can't regulate other industries, but they come in and just say to the...
No more incandescent light bulbs.
Yeah, you will not manufacture these things anymore.
I would say that is an argument against the incandescent light bulb policy rather than an argument for just dictating other industries. But,
definitely.
I think it's a revolting piece of policy, and if some people have a particular hankering and yearning for incandescent light bulbs and are willing to pay for the cost of the electricity and the carbon produced to make that electricity, then good luck to them. But the rest of us should be getting a price reward for going with something that uses less carbon.
Okay. And I say the same thing about drinking our own sewage.
And to sum up, can I just say, redundant joke, how many men does it take to change a light bulb?
It was a fight.
Malcolm Turnbull. Yeah. Let's go to a song.
For our international audiences.
He's the Minister for Environment.
He's the Minister for Water. He's now separate from
water and light bulb.
President's men.
Ah, water. President's man.
Yeah, President's man, okay.
Tell us about it.
Yeah.
What are you, come
We've
on.
Got 3 seconds.
John Howard's a cunt. Sorry, John Cunt is a Howard.
Yeah. No!
I'm going to be quite
all of that. But no, I started writing that when they were going into Iraq, and it's just like, you knew this was built on fucking lies.
Yes.
And then we found out it was built on a bit of wheat and a bit of lies and a bit of fucking oil.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
So, you know, that's...
We're all this implicit. Bribery and corruption makes the world go round.
If you didn't know me and you listened to that song, you'd probably initially think that I was a pro-war sort of person, but because it says I'm going to bomb your little village.
No, I took that to be ironic.
The irony is pretty
obvious.
It soon became apparent.
Well, yeah,
initially, I thought you might be some sort of a psycho.
Some people have gone,
go
for
it.
Yeah, but
it's like Tism's song, Don't Recycle. Is there going to be cheer in
Texas?
You know, which is about...
Okay, once again...
Purple Haze.
Can we...
Five.
Hear the fucking...
Anyway, cut a long story short, President's man.
Here we go.
To the ground. I'll fly over as that night falls and make your hospital beds crawl. Blood flows like the mighty tigers. Yeah, I'm gonna downfall. You point your blame at me, Sean. I'm just taking orders from the man. I'm just a president's man. He's gonna make you a little orphan boy. An Agent Orange, you make damn sure. Your scars will never heal from this place, no. Gonna forget this one. But don't you point your blame at me, son. I'm just taking orders from the man, you see. I'm just a president's pawn. Some meadows, maybe even a purple heart. My hometown folk gonna praise me for
for blowing your damn world apart. Your point, you're blaming me, Sean. I'm just taking orders from the man. I'm just a presidential man.
That was the, that was the president's man. I'm choking on popcorn.
Stale popcorn.
Nobody else will eat it. I don't know what's wrong with
except
it.
Except you and George.
Except George. And we should mention George, who's been here
he's
all
been very
night
silent,
long.
Except for some occasional very quiet jangling.
And occasionally eating some of my popcorn and annoying
he's a
me.
Dog.
With requests for more popcorn.
He's a scrawny dog. He's got some issues, but he's a dog nonetheless. Kelpie through and through.
You make a nice jacket.
Now look, we've had a few special guests here. We've had Owen and Ed and Sharky, and they're all sitting on one couch over there. There's a photo to testify to that.
G'day.
And this could be their only time to say any special message they want to say to the world. Is there anything, Owen particularly?
Yeah, no.
If you're caught short.
All right, turn your computer off now.
Right.
Turn everything off. Turn your TV off. Go and fucking live a little. Get out of the square you live in. Have more Carlton.
And pay more money to buskers.
Did you mean take your iPod?
Would you like more money for buskers?
No, that's fine.
You think $50 an hour is enough?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Hit the road and start busking.
Oh, don't want everybody doing it. No,
that's the thing. A lot of people don't believe that the creative arts can make you a fucking living, and it's bullshit. I mean, you know, it's so easy to blame your employer or your politician for what you're not earning. But if you get a bit more creative about it, and you know, indulge yourself in the things that you love, you can fucking do it.
There is one argument that sort of runs counter to that, and that is that we are in the middle of an enormous boom. We've experienced growth in this country for the last 15 years.
One of the things you love is digging up.
There is so much money in this country, it's insane, and everyone's employed, and yes, in those days...
But are they happy?
No, they're probably not. That's why they're giving you money for making them happy, you know,
because
on the street. But in worse times, when the economy is not going so good, it's not so easy for artists, because art is art and music and all these
things. Yeah, hey, musos will whinge when the times are bad, and musos will whinge when the times are good.
I'm not
whinging. You're not.
I'll never whinge.
You're going out there and busking.
Because even if I walk away with $20, at least I've been sitting there for 2 hours earning $10 an hour. I haven't been scrubbing pans.
And you've been practicing.
I haven't been answering to some fucking...
Yeah, you've been doing something you love.
Exactly. Exactly.
But yeah, that's why I'm only going to give you $2.
Yeah. See, well, that's,
and it's
that's
always been
me and 10 others. That means you're getting $20 an hour. That's pretty good.
Exactly.
It's not always people with the money who give the most money.
It never is.
Oh, no.
But the people without money, at least they've got some money. Whereas,
and, you know, every time I finish busking, whenever I see another busker, like, that's what I loved about the States. Like, there were so many people begging. And when I'd finished and I'd had a nice little pay packet, like, I'd give them $5, I'd give them $10, and seeing them go, oh my, are you for real? This is fake.
Mm.
And they'd look at you like, you're
giving Aussie money.
a guy gave me Canadian.
It's not even paper. No, tell me, what is your busking show? What do? Is it just you and your guitar?
Yeah, I don't sing at all on the street, I just play slide.
Have you got a little amp or something?
Yeah, a little amplifier, yeah.
A little piggy...
We should note that in the songs song. Played tonight, Owen's played his slide guitar on the same guitar that you play rhythm on.
I mean, it's the only guitar I know how to play it on.
Like, it's a compromise. And it is it's a Maton. It's an Australian Maton. It's got a fairly high action.
Yeah, if Maton want to come and see me about some...
sponsors. I think they will. I think they will.
Go Maton.
Owen Campbell.
Campbell. And you have a MySpace, Owen.
I opened up one and I realised I couldn't put music on it, so I opened up the other one.
You opened up the sort of personal one. I did exactly the same thing.
It's irritating. Okay, how do I get the music on there? It's like, fuck.
Oh, you need to sign up further.
But no, it's www.myspace.com/OwenCampbellTunes.
And it's just possible, if I get my act together and you give me your password, that you could hear some of the tracks on tonight's show.
That'd be great.
On your MySpace account.
That'd be awesome.
Including... possibly Nashville High Rollers.
Oh, yeah.
Sugar train, honey, ain't nothing here to see. Couple of gamblers fresh out of luck on a bridge overlooking the city sun. An old black man from North Carolina gave me direction to go. Straight down to the shit end of town where the churches are putting their feet on, praise the Lord. Find my way back home. Jake took a notion to ride the freight home. I didn't know where to turn. I rolling on Broadway left. Sitting back on the dance. Old man, leave the back door open. I'm fixing to come home soon.
So that was Nashville High Rollers, and Owen, tell us about the song.
Well, I bussed from San Francisco down to Nashville, and it was all beautiful until we hit Nashville. My mate Jake, who travelled down with me, he wasn't making. I don't know why. He was a good player, but down in Nashville, they just weren't paying him well, and so we were surviving off what I was making, and I didn't care. He was a fucking great dude. And so we ended up having to stay on the street there for about 6 days.
You didn't get arrested for vagrancy or anything like
that? No, there's a million and one.
What do you mean staying on the street? Where did you sleep?
On a bridge.
On a bridge.
On a bridge.
Like under the bridge.
We were gonna stay.
You're boarding it up on top of the bridge.
I know, it does. It sounds like this big cliche, but it actually fucking happened. Like, we were going to stay down on the banks of this river, but these old homeless fellas came up to us and said, hey, man, this woman got killed down there the other day. Yeah, so don't stay down there. It's not safe. So we went up on this bridge, like this fully lit walkway bridge. It was big enough for a car to get over, but no cars went over it. So we stayed on this.
Well, this was summer, I'm taking it.
It was. It was fucking stinking hot summer. Like. Yeah.
Because winter, even in Nashville, you'd be snow.
Yeah, no, it was summer. It was fucking horrible, the heat. Because, like, during the day, like, you know, we'd barely sleep at night because there'd be these homeless crackheads walking around.
Like, what were the mosquitoes like out there, sleeping out there?
They didn't really get... I'd say down at the river it would have been bad, but this was kind of well over the river. Okay. Like, it was.
But you're saying, basically, there's a place with a more extreme and worse climate than Canberra. They get snow.
There are I've never been in Nashville in the winter, but it was fucking stinking hot in the summer, like... And as well as that, like, I had this huge, big sort of backpacker's bag, and I had a bag with my amp in it and my guitar. Mm. So
it's a lot of luggage for sleeping on the street.
It was fucked. I mean, I didn't plan on that.
Yeah.
Hey,
must have been a bit, though, carrying all that shit around.
Yeah, but, because...
You might have been okay if it was just you, but you were carrying around this fucking lame other guy.
Oh, no.
He was carrying the amp.
No, there was nothing like me and Jake, you know, we were best mates, you know, like, you know, brilliant dude, and we just fell
just
into
not
a
suited
bit of,
to Nashville.
We fell into a bit of bad luck, like, because there was no backpacker hostels in Nashville.
None.
It was all hotels.
Because in summer, they often let people stay at the college dorms.
I should have looked into that.
Well, you know for next time.
But we did get places across the river. Like, where it was crack central. Like, we were walking back there one night and just fucking hell, like, just these crackheads were going around on bikes with these evil eyes, like, real fucking scary stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so we were on the bridge, and that's why I called it Nashville High Rollers, because we were stupid. First few nights we were there, like, one night this American Express executive, fucking, we met him in a bar, and he let us stay at the Hilton with him. And Jake pissed in the elevator. And
so you weren't invited back for the next night.
Like, he was only there for the one night. And so we blew all our money.
Best mate. Screwed up this whole thing.
That was just for one night.
He sounds like a whale of laughs already.
He was. He was the funniest dude. And, you know,
next time I'm with you, if I'd known, you know, how to get in with you, I would have fucking pissed
on
your doormat.
It's all over the place.
I've been hanging out with him in Nashville a lot. I mean, sorry, in San Francisco. Sorry. But in Nashville, we just ran into a bit of bad luck. And there's my phone.
Ho, ho, ho. That sounds like a really good time.
Good time to end.
Bye.
Gertrude has passed out.
Yeah, Gertrude's left her. She's passed out in the kitchen.
You and Mary's now, are you?
He's taking a phone call.
Thank you for listening. Thank you, Aaron Campbell. Thank you, Ant.
Thank you very much.
Anything?
Aaron Campbell, George, do you have anything to say?
Yeah, cool.
Give me some more popcorn. Give me some more popcorn.
That's what George has to say.
Careful with that. Okay, see you, everyone.
Good night.
Cheers. Say bye, Aaron.
Good night, dudes.
Ed, say bye. Bye.
You've been listening to Insatiable Banalities, podcast number 67, recorded on Tuesday the 6th of March, 2007.